John has a tough job. So when your phone rings and you see that it's him, go ahead and answer it. And you too will be blessed by whatever it is he asks you to do. There's my plug. So if he calls and you can, it's a wonderful thing. We're continuing our series on God at work and how we can put make this aspect of our lives, these things that we do, and by work I'm meaning whatever it is that you do. That could be your 8-to-5 type job. That could be if you're retired. It could be how you spend your time in retirement. Anything in between. It could just be the things you enjoy doing, but how we can use those moments to God's glory. And so we're going to do that again this week and then next week, and then we're going to move on to a new series after that. You're welcome to follow along with us in Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be there in just a moment. Kids have an amazing imagination, don't they? I mean, I've seen Hannah recently just pick up a stick and turn it into a sword. That's pretty easy going, right? But one day she took a box and a group of crayons, and with the beauty of being able to see beyond the ordinary, she transformed it into a spaceship to travel to the moon. And then rightly so, she wore her chef's hat along the way, because that's what good astronauts do, right? Or just back in September, Hannah invited me to come to her room and to play superhero family with her and her dolls. It was pretty impressive. Our family was made up of 2 baby dolls, a sock monkey, a bear, and the 2 of us. That's a good family, right? And so for a few minutes, I had superpowers, and I was able to work together with this family to save the world, and along the way to have a tea party. It was pretty incredible. I didn't know that was possible at the same time. But imagination is a beautiful thing. It looks at the mundane, ordinary things of the world, and it transforms them into something incredible, beautiful, and majestic. Imagination allows us to see endless possibilities of what could or should be. All it takes is eyes to see what other people can't. The imagination of a child is an incredible thing. It takes the ordinary and it makes it extraordinary. It takes the mundane and it makes it majestic. It can spring to life and do incredible things. It can even change the course of world events. In his book, Love Does, Bob Goff tells a story about how he raised his children not having a television, which to us seems a little crazy because that's the only way sometimes I can get some stuff done. But he had decided he didn't want his kids to have a TV, mainly because he didn't want them to encounter the scary things of the world without some parental guidance alongside of them. And so he tells this story then about how September 11th happens in 2001. And he walks into the room to tell his kids. And they are shocked and horrified and grieved. And at some point in that conversation, he asked them, if you had 5 minutes in front of a group of world leaders, what would you do? Now, this is a group of kids, right? 3 little ones under the age of 10. What would you do to help them make sense of life, faith, hope, and the events that are unfolding around them? That's really deep for a bunch of people with single digits in their age. One son stated that he would invite all of the world leaders to come over and to have playtime, and then to have conversations about things that matter while they played together. Another son suggested having discussed the things that they were hoping for so that they could understand each other a little bit better. His daughter, however, thought that those were all nice ideas, but they wouldn't work for world leaders. They were simply too busy and had too much on their plates. So instead of inviting them over to their houses, they said, we should go to their home and tell them about the things that we're hoping for our future. And we shouldn't just do it for us, but we should interview other kids and videotape that and then share their thoughts and opinions too. And for those of us standing here, we think that's absurd and a little naive, right? The world had far too much to think about on September 11th than the thoughts of a whole bunch of little kids. But they had imagination and sincerity of heart, and so they got on their computer and they looked up the name and address of every world leader out there, every president, prime minister, dictator, and they wrote down their idea and they sent it off in the mail. And after a few weeks, they started getting responses. polite rejections, but pretty meaningful in how they were rejected. And then, one day a letter came from Bulgaria, and they were invited to come and to meet with the prince. And then the prime minister of Switzerland invited them, and then the leader of Israel. And in total, 29 countries of the world contacted them and invited these random three kids to come and share their hopes, dreams, and imaginations for the future. How insane is that? And so they went. And as they went through those meetings, at the end they gave the leader a little box with that they were supposed to unwrap and open. And as they opened it, it was a key to their front door. And the kids said they were always invited to come over and visit and maybe even have a sleepover. That's nice and sweet, isn't it? And one actually did. Kids are incredible, right? The things that we think of absurd and naive, they think of as ordinary. Things that can actually happen, because just daring to dream can make a difference. So I want you to think for just a moment. Just stop and imagine. What can you imagine? What do you dare to dream? What might happen in your life and your work and your family if you could just imagine it? What great things do you think could be accomplished? Now, I want you to be honest with us for a moment. How many of you had a difficult time imagining something? A couple of hands. I did. As I wrote this week, I had a really hard time imagining what could be. And I think for many of us, it's that way. For many of us, it's difficult for us to imagine something different than what we are used to right here, right now. And when did we lose the ability to imagine great things? I mean, as a kid, I loved to imagine and dream of great things and set about accomplishing them. I would write stories of these incredible things that would happen. I would go out on adventures that were just in my backyard, but suddenly the whole world would be saved, right? But there are a lot of things in life now that keep me from being able to imagine that I can make much of a difference. There are a lot of stuff that just gets in the way. And as I began to think about why, for me this week, I came up with a couple of reasons why I have a hard time imagining what could be or what difference could be made in the world around me. See if these resonate with you. First, I feel like simply my day is too busy and too full for imagination. I wake up, hopefully before the girls, but often to take care of them. I get up, I get ready, I get things together, and I get out the door. I go to work, then I get to work, and I try to get all of my work done while giving my work my all. And I think about work as I work, and I think about work a lot, and little else matters while I am there. So I get up after work, I get out the door, I go to get Megan, we go and get to the girls' school about the time that they're about to shut the door because all the kids need to be going home, and we get home in time to cook dinner. We cook, we eat, we clean, we get cleaned up, and then we head to bed. Baths have to be taken, teeth have to be brushed, stories need to be read, nightlights have to be turned on because it's a little too scary without them, and then we clean up the house, we walk the dog, maybe I get to work out, and I wind up in bed long after I'd actually planned to be there. And those are the weekdays, and the weekends, well, they're not much better. They're full of running and running errands and running around, soccer games and story times and play dates and projects, yard work and housework and work, because rarely do I actually get my work done before the weekend hits. Not a lot of time for imagination. I mean, if I were to open up my daily schedule, I would have a hard time penciling in imagination with everything else that is on the pages and in the margins. The pages are full of good things, but still, it's a lot of things. And for many of you, your days are probably even more hectic than mine. And our busyness, my busyness, often drowns out the possibility of imagining something different, of what could be with just a little more time and effort and energy. Second, I think we have a hard time imagining because we focus too much on ourselves. Many of us have a difficult time thinking of something that we can do to make a difference. We focus more on our deficiencies than on our strengths. If only I could do fill in the blank. This guy doesn't have that problem, by the way, but many of us do. If only I worked at fill in the blank for yourself instead of where I am. If only I had a job or I was retired or I had more time in the day or my kids were out of the house or fill in the blank with whatever excuse that you typically come up with. We are too focused often on what isn't in our lives than what is and what could be. And I think that goes along with the third problem in my life. Our imaginations are simply a little bit off kilter. We either imagine too much or not enough. Let me see if I can help this make sense, if I can explain it. We think that life is often about the momentous. When we imagine doing something, it's often things that we aren't able or skilled to actually do. I'm not at a point in my life where it would make a whole lot of a sense to imagine and plan to climb Mount Everest. It sounds wonderful. Never going to happen. But if I tie my worth and all of my future to this one idea, then I will never succeed and I'll never do what might need to actually be done. But many of us in life live with FOMO, right? The fear of missing out, if you don't know the acronym. We think we have to do every incredible thing that's out there or we just don't matter. That we will miss the mark if we aren't doing the momentous. That we will miss out on what we are supposed to be doing. You see, we often miss the good in our life waiting for the grandiose. And so we have a hard time imagining the things that could be done because what we want to do is simply just too impractical. And we think the only things worth doing are the big things. And if we can't do the big things, then we probably shouldn't do anything at all. Or we take the opposite approach. We imagine that we can't do anything at all. That I'm not important enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not connected enough, I can't teach, lead, speak, inspire, encourage. My influence is simply too small, my time is too short, my imagination is too stunted. We can't imagine because we can't imagine that we could ever make a difference. And I think that's tied to our fourth problem. Well, we're often too focused on ourselves. Now, wait a second, you're thinking, you just said that one already, right? Stop focusing on yourself and get on to the point. I think that's true. Yes, I have mentioned it before, but I think it bears repeating because we need to hear it. Many of us imagine that life revolves around us and what we can do for good or for ill. It's about what I can do or what I can't. It's about what I will accomplish or what I won't. It's about the talents and skills and abilities that I have or that I don't. And so we have a very hard time imagining what could be. Imagination is difficult. It's tough. And as Paul writes to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, he calls them to a grand imagination. An imagination that is focused on the right person and the right priorities. And as Kelly reminded us this morning, he does so in a prayer that is offered on their behalf. Listen to these words again together with us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit and your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to know how to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And for Paul, the focus here, the focus is not on us. The focus here is on God. Even when calling them to have a grand imagination of what they might be able to accomplish. See, for Paul, he has the right person in mind. This is a prayer for God about their lives and their actions. This is about the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within them. It's the indwelling of Christ, and the foundation of everything that they can do is to be found in God's love. It's about remembering that the love that God has poured out for us in Christ is multidimensional, and it covers everything that is out there. And by focusing on God, then we may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God Himself. This is all about God and how God works through us. We simply have to be willing to let Him. And Paul tells them that God can do far more than you can ever begin to ask Him to do, or you can even imagine can be done. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to, again, reminder of who's in charge, His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It is God who can do great, incredible, grandiose things through His incredible, immeasurable power that is at work and even at work in us. He can also do ordinary, mundane, and seemingly simple things through His incredible, immeasurable power that is at work within us. You see, God calls us to a great imagination, and He dares us to dream big dreams to His glory. And sometimes those are grand things that are big and monumental and great. God might call you to start a new nonprofit that blesses children in need. He might place a desire on your heart to help ex-convicts get jobs and job skills so that they can move past their incarceration. God might convict you of the need to plant a church or start a new ministry, or move overseas to do mission work, or move to the inner city and plant an outreach. He might call you to learn a new language so you can help immigrants who move to the United States. Or He might ask you to run for political office so that you can help with changing the policies and political procedures. Or He might call you to a whole host of other things that I can't even come up with right now. But I want you to dream and imagine for a moment. If there were no barriers in your life, if there were no limits in terms of things like time and money and energy and excitement and funding, what could you imagine? What would you love to do for God? One of my favorite stories is the story of a girl by the name of Katie Davis, who at the young age of 18 moved to Uganda for a year and has stayed for more than 11. Katie wrote this little book called Kisses from Katie. She starts just reaching out to those that she can, and she begins to adopt children who have no families, who have been orphaned. She starts with a pair of sisters, and to date she has adopted 13 that live with her. Not only that, but she starts a ministry that then provides for hundreds, more than 1,000 at this point, children, giving them education and clothing and food and inoculations. And she begins to teach job skills to those without education so that they can get ahead. And her book, Kisses from Katie, is a memoir of the amazing things that God has been able to accomplish through her, things that she could never dream of before. Because you see, sometimes God does empower you and work through you to accomplish big things to His glory. But I also think we do a disservice to ourselves and to God if we think that the only things that we can do are big, grand things. Instead, I think some of the most incredible things that God accomplishes are through ordinary people doing ordinary things with extraordinary faithfulness and love. You see, Katie Davis has written a newer book called Daring to Hope. And in the midst of it, she says, "I didn't know it then," when she was 18 and in the time since, "but the truth sinks deep into my bones now. It's not our productiveness for God that counts," she writes. "It is our worship, our time at His feet. It isn't our public life, the accolades of the well done, and the applause of the world that matters. It is our silent, continuous reach for Him in the places where no one is watching. It isn't our world changing that makes any difference. It's the way we let Him change and shape our hearts to reflect more of His." One of my favorite characters, she writes in the Bible, is Mary of Bethany. By the world standards, she didn't do much of anything extraordinary. She sat at her sister's feet at Jesus' feet while her sister ran around serving. She poured out her life savings and perfume over him while others looked on and called it a waste. But I think Mary knew a secret, she wrote. A secret the world doesn't teach us. One that I didn't know at 18 when my productive and radical life was going to make a difference. The only thing that matters, she says, is him. Not what we do for him, although those things are great, but that we know him. Just being present and willing to worship God is a signal of our service. So, what ways can you serve God in your life, in your work, in your areas of influence this week? What can you imagine doing for God? Maybe it's just sitting and listening to a coworker. Truly listening so that they are heard where they are and affirmed, not just listening for how we can interject or get out of the conversation, just letting them know that they matter to us even if we don't agree. Maybe it's taking time out of your busy schedule to sit down with your kids or your spouse or a friend and just investing in that relationship and sharing life and sharing yourself as you love them. Maybe it's doing your work to the best of your ability so that because you know that ultimately you are working for God and not for women or for men. That God can be found in these small things too, even if it's working on an assembly line or washing cars or balancing spreadsheets or teaching children. Those can be moments of worship, praise, and thanksgiving too. Maybe it's teaching kids how to grow in their ability to make art or music. Teaching them that God values things of beauty and art because he is creative. Maybe it's sharing your faith over lunch with a coworker who yearns to know more about God or feel accepted or experience love. Or maybe it's learning about the faith of someone who believes very differently than you do. Simply letting them know that they are valuable even if you don't believe the same things. Because you would want them to listen to you and to hear you as you shared your faith with them. So we should do the same for them as they talk to us. Maybe it's volunteering to mentor a student or help someone practice their English or picking up kids for church or LTC practice or VBS or serving as a spiritual mentor at the Open Door Mission or fill in the blank for yourself. What is that one thing for you? What is that thing you can imagine doing? The way in which you could use your skills and gifts and talents to God's glory in some way. And so today in life groups, you're going to talk about ways that that could come into play in your lives. So come and join a life group and talk about that a little more in depth for you. The movie Pirates of the Caribbean, The Black Pearl, the very first one, ends on this incredible scene. It ends with Captain Jack Sparrow standing at the ship's wheel on the deck of the ship, holding a compass that points to his one true desire. And for the whole course of the movie, he hadn't known what that was, but finally the compass is pointing straight ahead. And grabbing a hold of the wheel, he says, "Now, bring me that horizon." And off they sail. Now, there have been 3 other movies since. That's okay. The beautiful thing is he's got a goal he's aiming for, right? That one thing in mind, but something he will never totally ever reach. You're never going to get to the horizon because beyond the horizon is another horizon. But it's amazing and beautiful to think that the sky is the limit when we give our lives, our skills, our talents to God, because God can do incredible things through things that we find rather mundane. We serve a great God, don't we? I love that we sang "How Great is Our God" earlier because it's a reminder of the splendor and majesty of the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what God wants is to help shape our desires. He wants to give us a grand imagination. He wants us to see how the things of life, the little things and the big things, can be a blessing to you and to others and to him. And the way in which we do that is we let God be our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. We say, we want you to come in and to change our hearts and our lives and draw us close to you. And so my prayer this morning is that one of your desires is that you will grow closer to God. Wherever you are, if you are in the beginning stages of that move, or if you've been following God for 90 years, or you're somewhere in between. If we can help you in that walk today, if we can help you come to know God a little bit better, we would love to do that. You're welcome to respond during this public time of invitation. You're welcome to catch somebody afterwards and share the needs of your heart. If there's something we can pray for or rejoice with, if we can baptize you into Christ, anything today that we can do, we would love to do that. May God go with you today and guide you. Let's sing together.